You may find a seat. So glad you're here this morning. Thank you so much for being here. If you're new here with us, we are a gospel community on mission for the glory of God and the joy of others and the good of the very community that we get to live in. Gospel upward, community inward, and mission living outward, up, in, and out. That really typifies who we desire to be. And like has already been mentioned, if you are new here with us, this is a place where everyone's welcome, which means maybe you came in here today and you go, I don't have a relationship with God, but I'm here, I'm curious, I'm exploring, I'm checking things out. Maybe you're here today and you're passionate about your relationship with Jesus, and you came in here this morning expectant for what he would do in your life. Everyone's welcome. Nobody's perfect. We all have problems. If you think you don't have a problem, that is your problem. Absolutely. And by God's grace and goodness, anything is possible. So church family, like we do each and every week, will you please give a warm welcome to those who are new here with us? If you have a Bible with you, I want to invite you to make your way over to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. You'll find that in the New Testament. If you can't find it, you can look in the index. We have everything up here on the screens for you. We're continuing a series, and the series is just simply this. How is your soul learning to live from the inside out? And if you missed the past couple of weeks, here's what you need to know. You need to know that you are not just somebody with a pulse. No, you have a soul, and the soul is the most important part of who you are. You need to know this morning, you're not an accident. You're not a mistake. You're not a coincidence. You are created by God. You are created for God, and that is the very reason that your soul will ultimately only be satisfied in the deepest way in God. This is who you are, and God loves us immensely. And yet sometimes we think that this whole deal of soul care is automated, that it's automatic, as if we're followers of Jesus and we put our faith, our hope, and our trust in Jesus, we are right with God. And so therefore, the internal part of who we are, everything must be right. But we know that's not true. You could say it like this, church. You might have Jesus in your heart, but you got grandpa in your bones. Never forget that, for better or for worse. And there's even a phrase that in the Middle Ages was used. You're probably very familiar with it. It's called the office, the daily. We've changed that in our current society. We call it work. Work and office, by the way, are kind of like synonyms. Office in Latin is what we use currently for work. And the idea was, as followers of Jesus, we would need to do our daily work. That this idea of soul care was ongoing. This sense of partnership with God. And how does someone change? How does someone actually experience transformation? Well, they experience it through encountering grace, through encountering truth, and it just takes time. That it is this connection piece between our relationships, our experiences, and ultimately the decisions we make, the habits or the practices that we participate in. That you and I are actually the sum total of our relationships, our experiences, and our decisions. And each and every week, we've been looking at one more practice or one more facet of this whole idea of soul care. And today, I want to introduce another one to you. And again, like maybe those before, you'll think, I didn't necessarily think about that and its connection to soul care. Before we do, though, let me tell you about my experience driving to Disney with my family. We saved up, we kind of did some things around Christmas, and we said, we're going to Disney World just after Christmas. So 2 weeks ago, we loaded in the car, and my family took a trip to Disney. Notice I said a trip, not a vacation. Whenever you have an infant and you have a preschooler, it doesn't matter where you go. It's always a trip, and it's never a vacation. And we made it there. But on the way, I wanted to take a book and read it, and get a chance just to be encouraged and refreshed. And I chose a book by Cal Newport. Excellent book. It's called Deep Work. And so I'm actually working through this book, and I'm listening to it on Audible for just a moment. He poses a question. Here's his question. He says, do you recognize the tension of being distracted, which inhibits you from deeper work, whatever work you're doing. So I start to think about that until I'm interrupted. Not by the first time or the fifth time, it's probably 400 times by my little daughter who keeps saying the question you asked your parents and your grandchildren will ask their parents and so on and so forth. This was the question, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I kept saying we are closer now than we ever have been before. I said, you know what? Too much is going on. I'm going to wait. I'm going to tackle that question when I get to the hotel because there's probably a patio back there. We arrive to the hotel and we get everything unpacked. I walk out into the patio. I'm thinking now is the time that I can really ponder this really profound question. And so I start to think about it and ding, my phone goes off. It's a text message. And at the same time I get a text message, an email comes in. I'm looking at it, and while I'm looking at it, my wife comes in and says, hey, we're eating in 10 minutes. I said, thank you. I respond to that. Then my daughter comes. And my daughter says, you want to go to the pool? And here's the thought that I had. I am too distracted to answer a question about being distracted. And isn't that true for our lives? It's no secret that you and I often live very distracted. And we are so distracted that it's hard for us to focus on anything very deeply. It's hard for us to focus on deeper relationship with others, deeper work life, and I would also say it's really hard for us in a distracting world to focus on a deeper life with God, deeper souls before God. We don't have time for that. We've got so much going on and so much to do, and God has given us a gift that we often miss along the way. Somewhere, I think we picked up a narrative that following Jesus was meant to be a solo affair. That this whole idea of a deeper life with God was meant to be done just in private with a devotional book somewhere in the closet. And I think what we may have missed along the way is that although you're created by God, you are created for relationships, which is actually connected to the very fact of how you are created. The Trinity itself, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God is relational. We are made in His image. And this whole idea of soul care is connected to relationships. And when you think about it, isn't your greatest successes and your most significant failures in life connected to something involving a relationship? Think about your life right now. The deepest joys, the things that excite you, the things that you're so glad about, and the things that bring you so much frustration and angst, aren't they connected in some way to relationships? And so here's what I want to look at today. I want to look about this gift that God gives us to cultivate not just any relationship, but to cultivate friendships. And that through deeper friendships, we find ourselves having a deeper life with God and deeper souls before God. In other words, I just believe that God desires to see you never do life alone. I just believe that God wants to give you heaven's friends. I just believe that God wants you to be a heaven's friend to someone else. And so I'm not going to encourage you today to have good friendships. What I'm going to encourage you to have is godly relationships that become deeper friends. And you have no idea how you will be blessed and how you will bless. Now there's a significant moment I want you to turn your attention to. It's in John chapter 13. And you got to picture what's going on. Because Jesus is there, and it's a significant, profound moment with his disciples. Whenever you read about Jesus' relationship with disciples, I think what we might miss is the fact that these weren't just disciples, they were also friends. In other words, Jesus had friends on mission. And you even see the deeper life with those friends. It's at the Mount of Transfiguration. How many people does he take? He takes three. How many people are with him at the cross? There is one of those deeper friends. There is a sense of deeper friendship that Jesus has with these 12 disciples. And you got to picture this. Jesus is on his way. It won't be that terribly long before he is ultimately crucified and resurrected, and they're sitting around, and guess what happens? One of Jesus's friends, named Judas, decides to betray him, sells him out. How many times in our own life, and you're probably dealing with some of it right now, that you've experienced maybe a wound from someone who is close to you? This is one of the wonderful things, by the way, that I love about pressing into Jesus. It's easy to go, I've been betrayed, I have been mocked, I have been ridiculed, I have been beaten, no one understands. Jesus writes the best stories, but I want you to know before we're finished, Jesus is the best friend. And he knows what you're going through. He gets it on ways that you would never get it. You can lean into him. So in this moment, here's what happens. Jesus has just been betrayed by Judas, and I just imagine they're all sitting around, and everyone's doing what we're all tempted to do. They're tempted to go wide. They're tempted to look around this circle and say, wow, if this happened with Judas, I'm not going to lean much further into a relationship with John. Because who knows, he might do the same thing. I saw just what happened. That's really good. But Peter, I'm only going to go so deep with you. We have all types of relationships, right? We have these wide friendships. So don't mishear me. What I'm not going to say is, when we finish today, will you go home, jump on social media, and get some more Facebook friends? That's not what I'm going to say. Those are wide friendships. Some of those Facebook friends we might need to let go. In the name of Jesus. I was talking to someone recently, and they don't live here, but they called me, and they said, I'm a mess today. I'm thinking about quitting my job. I just don't know how to tell my family. And I am overwhelmed with anxiety, and I don't know if I should go to counseling, or I don't know if I should go to the doctor and get some meds. What do you think? And I said, here's what I do know for sure. I don't know any of those questions. You need to stop posting a fake like on social media. Because earlier that day, I jump on usually twice a week, and earlier that day, they had posted a picture of them with a cup of coffee smiling and saying, I love coffee, I love life, let's go get Monday. That's not what's really going on in your life. And so we can have wide friends. That's not what I'm referring to. I'm referring to deeper friendships. And you can't go deeper with everyone. That's not what I'm going to say. It's not what Scripture, I think, is pointing us to. But you can go deeper with a few. And so Jesus, imagine this, sitting down. They're all in a circle. Maybe they're going, as soon as this is all done, when we're finished, I'm not going deeper with these people. And in John chapter 13, listen to what Jesus says to them. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We have to get this correctly. This is specifically given in the context of these relationships within these disciples. It might apply to us, but we first must see it in its context. And Jesus is saying to this group of disciples who are tempted to go wide in their relationship with each other after the betrayal of Judas, no, I want you. I'm not even giving you a suggestion. I want you to love one another. It's not a suggestion. This is a commandment from Jesus. Want to be my disciple? By this, they're going to know that you're my disciple. They're not going to know you're my disciple by the songs maybe that you sing, or even the church that you're a part of maybe, or the mission trips you've been on, but they will know you're my disciple by the way that you love one another. Three times there, in this short passage, he points them to love one another. He's soon to be crucified, soon to be resurrected. And he doesn't say this to a nameless, faceless crowd. He says this right then and there to those disciples. And he knew how important it would be for the mission Jesus had called them to be heaven's friends to each other. To have deeper friendships that would lead to deeper souls. Now here's what I imagine them doing, because I would have done this. That's really great, but I think that's audacious, Jesus. a new commandment that you give us. I think that is so audacious. How are we to have the fuel to live something like that out? If we wanted to do it, how do we actually get the strength to continue to press in when people like Judas betray us? I want to look at what Jesus says and slow it down. He says, I give you a new commandment, love one another. And then he says this, he says, just as I have loved you. I know you're going to be tempted to go wide. The fuel to go deep with friendships, with relationships, it's actually not going to be connected to how perfect they are, because the truth is sometimes in friendship and relationship with others, they are disappointing. You ever been disappointed by people? You ever had someone throw spears at you? You ever felt like that this is too tense and all those things? How do you get the fuel? Jesus says, when you're tempted to go wide, I want you to come back. And I want you to see this. Just as I have loved you. I think, in my opinion, Jesus is pointing them back to the gospel. That the gospel is this good news of the all-encompassing, extravagant love of God. It's the Apostle Paul who writes to a community of believers in Rome. And he says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't based on what we did, what we brought to the table, what we could accomplish. It wasn't based on a perfect life that we brought before God. No, the extravagant love of God for us in Christ. And just to make sure we're clear, in another instance, John writes in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, this could not be any stronger. We love because he, meaning Jesus, first loved us. Don't you love that Jesus is an initiator? Don't you love that God says, I'm not going to ask you to do something that I myself didn't already do? And so let me ask you this question. Do you have any deeper friendships? Has that been something in our life that we've kind of put on autopilot? And if you're here and you're married, you might think to yourself, well, I'm married, that's my friend. Okay, do you have a deeper friendship in your marriage? And let me ask you this question. Are you investing into those deeper friendships? What does that look like in our own lives? And so I want to share just a few things, because maybe you might think to yourself, I don't want wide relationships. I want to go deeper with people. How do I kind of get there? I'll share with you just a few things. Two things first to keep in mind. To have a friend, we have to be a friend. To have a friend, we have to be a friend. That there's no way of getting around it. You want a deeper friendship, you have to be the type of friend people will go deeper with. Second thing to keep in mind, deeper friendships, they're made by chemistry, choice, and commitment. In other words, you can't force them. You have to be on the lookout for them. You have to make a choice, and it can't be off of convenience. It has to be off of commitment. And I've learned that in many ways the hard way. Every week, I spend 10 minutes on a certain day, and I call someone who's 3,000 miles away, and we just touch base, and we just connect. Why? Because they are heaven's friends. And I know they're one of the people. You can't go deep with everyone, but you can go deep with a few. So if you want a deeper friendship, it will cost you, but it's worth the cost. If you want a deeper friendship, it'll take time, but it's worth the time. You want deeper friendships, it will not be easy, but it will always be worth it. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. Friends come and friends go, but a true friend sticks by you like family. That is so good. So the remainder of time, I want to point us in two kind of different directions. One is just kind of a pathway to getting deeper friendships. I just thought, I want to try to be as clear as I can. How does a relationship move into a deeper friendship? Well, it always starts at the surface level. In the surface level of friendship, you don't even know their name, really. How many of you have seen someone and you said, "How are you doing?" And by you, I have no idea what your name is. Or maybe you've come and you've experienced a little bit of the Southern culture, which can overpromise and sometimes underdeliver. Amazing hospitality, but I can remember even whenever we first moved back, there were so many people said, "Hey, we should grab lunch. We should go to dinner." I came home and I'm telling my wife, "Wow, we won't know what to do. We have so many times where we're going to go to dinner and go to lunch." And then what happens? You realize, and it's okay, people really don't mean that. They're just being nice and very kind to you. It's just surface. But what would happen if you entered into a new year, because we're in one, and you said, "This is a strange prayer. God, for the sake of your glory and for the health of my very soul and living on mission with you, would you just expand heaven's friends for me this year? I know that I'm going to encounter some surface level, but the next level is an intentional level. In the intentional level, someone makes the move. I love it when people will come to me and say, I was a part of a Sunday morning service, and I want you to know no one talked to me. And I said, I'm so sorry to hear that. How many people did you talk to? Because the thought is, well, if someone doesn't talk to me, then they obviously, they don't want anything to do with me. That's not true. Did you know in a local church, typically 60% of the people who call this place home are introverts? We just are. It's difficult to have conversations with strangers. That's not bad. It's one of the reasons why I love our welcome team. Isn't our welcome team amazing, by the way? They're absolutely awesome. Why do we do that? Because we want to be intentional. We want to do our best to let you know you are seen, you are valued, and you are heard. We are imperfect, but we're trying to do our best. Intentional. There's a story that Brené Brown, if you've ever heard of her or read anything from her, she shares this story about her daughter, Ellen. Her daughter, Ellen, came home. She was in third grade. And she ran into the door, and she just kind of collapsed in her mom's arms, and she just started crying. And she said to her mom, "I was at recess, and I told some of the kids something that was going on. And by the time I made it back to my class, everyone knew, and they were laughing at me, and they were making fun of me. I will never trust anyone again." Some of you are saying that right now. And her mom really didn't know what to do. She thought about being full-fledged mama bear. Internally, when I get finished with this, I'm going up to that school. They have no idea. I will bring the wrath of a mama bear on their forehead. I will find out where all those little kids live. Wait till I get finished with them. She thought about leaning over and just telling her, "You listen, you never trust anyone again." That's the reason why every time you get close to someone, they will break your heart. Leave them alone. But she knew that that wasn't the heart of a mom who's preparing her kid for the future. Ellen said, "You know, Mom, in our classroom, we have a jar of marbles, and if we make poor decisions, the teacher takes out some marbles, and if we make wise decisions, the teacher actually puts in some marbles. And we had marbles taken out as a result. And if the marbles are full, then we get to have a party, and we celebrate it." And her mom thought, and she said to her, she got down on her knees and eye level, and she said, "I love you. I know this is hard. People sometimes hurt us really, really bad. And relationships in many ways are like that marble jar. It's a relationship of trust. And you make intentional decisions and you watch and you wait and you drop in a marble each and every time and you start to share more and more as the relationship deepens." Think about it in your case. You have a crisis going on. Who do you call? Whoever you call, and they come, there's another marble that gets added into that jar. Think about it. You share with them something really small, and then you watch, and then you wait, and you see how they respond. And over time, here's what happens in friendships. They're not by accident. They don't just automatically drift this way. But over time, you move from surface level friendships to intentional relationships into deeper friendships with each other. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is, again, that if we want a deeper life with God, I just believe God wants us to give and to receive heaven's friends. So here are a few practices that if you have a friendship and you want to grow into a deeper friendship, these are things that deeper friends provide. And I encourage you to write this down. Think about this week. Consider your own life and your relationships. Deeper friends provide deeper awareness in your life. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. The wounds from a friend are worth it. Kisses from an enemy do you in. Isn't that true? A deeper friendship is someone who wants something for you, not someone who wants something from you. And they're able to share with you, here's a few things that I think you can improve on. And the relationship is based on trust and grace. I've had people who are such close friends and they pull me aside and our relationship is trust, and I know they're praying for me, I know they're fighting for me, and they just put their arm around and they say, I want you to think about a few things here. You may not be aware, but I just want to make you aware of this. Secondly, deeper friends provide deeper encouragement in our life. Proverbs 27, verse 9, a sweet friendship refreshes the soul. That is so good. You know, I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for the encouraging words of a friend. And so many times in my life, I literally wouldn't be preaching today if that wasn't the case. I can remember in a setting where the first kind of opportunity I had to preach, it was at a local college. And so I stood up. I had prepared so hard. I was ready to go. And I stood up, and I still can't explain this. I know this might not make sense. I couldn't get the words out of my mouth. And they weren't just friends and peers. They were actually professors. And I'm sitting there, and I tried, and I tried. And I even printed things out, and I'm ready, and I just couldn't. And you know what I did as a grown man? I just started to cry. They were man tears, obviously. But I started to cry. And after a while, I was so embarrassed. I'm not making this up. I'm so embarrassed that I just said, I'm sorry, I cannot do this. I put it away, and I walked out of that door, down the stairs, and straight to my dorm. Got up on the top bunk, closed the door, and just wept. And I was angry. I thought you wanted me to be a part of doing ministry. I can't even preach. This is not going to go well. I was so broken. And I called a friend later that day. And they just loved on me. And they just said, you keep taking steps forward. Do you believe you can trust Jesus or not? Maybe there's something that God wants to say to you in that moment. And would you slow down and listen? And they just encouraged me, listen, listen, listen. Do you know what happened from that? I became convinced that one of the things God wanted to teach me through that experience was to never again walk on a stage like this and not thank God for the opportunity before I ever said a word. And every time I get up, I say basically the same prayer. God, you've given me words and you can take them away, but I'm just so grateful that I get that opportunity. If it wasn't for friends who encouraged me. Deeper friends provide deeper value to your life. You know, in relationships, you are either adding value or you're not. It's pretty straightforward. And deeper friends know how to add value to our lives. Proverbs 27, verse 19. You use steel to sharpen steel, and one friend sharpens another friend. Or some of your translations says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another man. I'm so grateful for friends who sharpen me. I meet on Monday for a small group, and we sit down and hear the questions that we ask on that Monday. We ask the same questions every time. Here they are. How's your soul? Do you have any secrets in your life that you want to hide? Because you're only as sick as your secrets. And how do you see God at work in your life? And there are times that I want to come into that space and just kind of avoid the question. But deeper friends press in. They care for us, but they ultimately care that we treasure and trust Jesus every single day. That we steward our life for the glory of God. So as we enter into a new year, the real gift that comes is who God is shaping us to become and the people we meet. And here's what we discover along the journey to caring well for our souls. God puts people in our life for a season and for a reason and on purpose to be heaven's friends, to walk with us. And maybe you go, I don't have any deeper friends. Well, that could be your prayer today before God. I'm open to that. I don't want to stay on the surface. I want to move to being intentional. I want to go deeper. And the last thing I'll leave you with is this. Jesus writes the best stories, but Jesus is the best friend. And you can go through things in your life, and there is nothing more sweeter than the friendship of Jesus. You ever have one of those weeks that you're like, that probably wasn't in my top 10? Do you know what I mean? I had one of those weeks where I was like, that probably isn't in my top 10 weeks ever. But I absolutely love taking a long walk at the end of a week and processing that with Jesus. I thought about John 13 earlier in verse 13, and it just says this, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. This is talking about Jesus. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, Jesus is saying. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Want a deeper soul? Want a healthier soul? Well, a deeper life with God that involves deeper work with God usually accompanies deeper friends with God. And if you're here today, you may not have a friendship with Jesus, and I just want to say to you, there is nothing greater in all this world, there is nothing more important in all this world than to receive the goodness and grace of God and the friendship of Jesus. And so here's what I want to do this morning. I want to pray for us. I'll invite the worship team to join us. I want to pray for us, and then we're going to move forward into a time of communion together. And Pastor Bo will lead that time for us. But I want to give you just a few moments right where you're sitting. And I'd ask you just to kind of bow your heads with me, and would you mind just closing your eyes and creating some space? I want you to think about the friendships that you have. I want you to think about how God might be moving in your life to intentionally lean in more, not less. Maybe there's some friendships that you go, I'm going so wide in that area, I can't go deeper with everyone, but I can go deeper with a few. Maybe this is one of those few. Maybe there's some relationships you need to edit or audit that you've spent a lot of time and you need to spend less time for the sake of your soul, mission with Jesus and the glory of God. Maybe you need to do like I did today. Early this morning, I've been doing this at the end of the week. God, I want to thank you for this person. I want to thank you for this person. I want to thank you for this person. I see them as heaven's friends. And maybe when you leave here later, you will call them and just say, I recognize you're heaven's friends. Thank you. And last but not least, maybe you're here today and you go, I don't have a friendship with Jesus. And Scripture says that we're not spiritually struggling. We are spiritually dead. We're not just wondering. We are lost. And because of Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection, he takes those who are dead and he makes them spiritually alive. He takes those who are lost and he welcomes them into his family. And maybe today, for the first time, you go, I want to receive the free gift of grace and I want that friendship with Jesus. So let me pray for you this morning. God, first, I just pray over the friendships that are part of this family, that they don't go wider, but they go deeper. Will you help us to see and recognize heaven's friends and the goodness of heaven's friends? When it comes to our soul, God, would we see and will we receive the goodness of heaven's friends? Would we thank those friends? Would we go deeper with those friends? May we truly have a sense of joy in those friendships. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, if you're here today and you say, I realize I'm a sinner in need of Christ, that I am spiritually dead and I can't do anything about it except plead and receive the good news of the gospel and let Jesus move me from being dead to alive. I want the friendship of Jesus. If that's you here today, I just want to lead you in a time of response to that. And so I want to invite you to pray this with me right there in your seat. As a heart posture before the living God, today I receive for the first time on February the 3rd, 2019, I receive the free gift of God's grace. I recognize that I'm a sinner and Jesus, you are the Savior. I recognize that I am loved, not based on what I do, but Jesus, what you have done. And so will you give me new and eternal life, Jesus? Can I enter in to friendship, not just here and now, but for all eternity with you? If that was you this morning with every head bowed, every eyes closed, will you just kind of extend your hand up this morning and saying, that was me. Today, I started a relationship with Jesus, and I want to publicly respond to that. Just raise your hand this morning if that was you. God, I'm so grateful for what you've done for us. And as we move into a time of communion, may this be a sweet time of truly thanking you, not just for writing the best stories, but for being the best friend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.